find any books we wanted to check out or even buy anything in the used bookstore. So then when we got out, we went into the car and turned the ignition and nothing. And so then Elizabeth got on her cell phone and found AAA. She turned on her cell phone and guess what? No bars. So she was able to go in at least to the reference desk and call the AAA. After waiting there a good 45 minutes, they came out, and apparently what it was a dead battery. And the fellow said, by the way, the starter and the alternator are okay. When's the last time you replaced your battery? I said, oh, okay. You know, it's interesting. I was reading once again Martin Luther's suggestions on catechism and basically the liturgy and everything else. And what he says is, we should keep the same forms. Don't innovate. Because when we know this by heart, then we have something upon which we can depend our entire lives. It's kind of like when I've gone to visit some of our older members in nursing homes, and when we speak about the liturgy or Bible passages, they know that by heart. And I just think, you know, as we go through life, there may be times when spiritually we may think, wow, it's almost like a desert. Are our batteries dead? Are our power bars down? And yet we can look within ourselves, not look within ourselves, but look at that Word of God that we've kept in our heart, and there find immediate recharging of our spiritual batteries and the forgiveness that Jesus has won for us. No calls to AAA, just God's Word and Christ's forgiveness. We begin our service then today with the singing of our first hymn, hymn number 4, God Himself is Present. At the conclusion, we rise and continue with our liturgy on page 5 of the 4th part of our hymn.
Thank you.
me, but I thought, word indeed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to divine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, bless me, thy only begotten Son, to die for us. Have mercy upon us, and for his sake, grant us remission of all our sins. And by thy Holy Spirit, increase in us through knowledge of thee, and of thy will, and true allegiance to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come into everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, that hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe in his name, he hath given them. He has given power to become the sons of God, and promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Say unto my soul, I am your salvation. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears. He delivers them out of their troubles. He is their God forever and ever. Give ear, O my people, to my word. Incline your ears to the word of my mouth. the 19th Sunday after Trinity, the Old Testament lesson, and also the lesson that serves as the basis for our morning sermon, is written in the first book of Moses, the 28th chapter of Genesis, beginning at the 10th verse. Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head, and he lay down in that place. He had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and you and your descendants. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in you and in all your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to the land, for I will not leave you until I have done that which I have promised you. And Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know. Then Jacob was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on its top. And he called the name of that place Bethel. Okay, we do not speak the gradual at this point, but we basically read the epistle lesson, because when I printed the bulletin out the first time, for some reason I left out the epistle lesson. When I put it back in, I put it in the incorrect place. So we shall read the epistle lesson and then go back and speak the gradual response. The epistle lesson is written in the fourth chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, beginning at the 22nd verse. But, in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. So far, the epistle lesson. Now we go back one page, and we rise to speak the gradual responsibly, and at the conclusion, we sing the triple alleluia. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted.
And saves those who are crushed in spirit.
How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity.
And in the spirit there is no deceit.
When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. I acknowledge my sin to you. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord. Hallelujah. O Lord, deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes.
I am your servant. You understand me.
St. Matthew, beginning at the first verse. Getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over the sea and came into his own city. And they brought to Jesus a paralytic lying on a bed. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, take courage, son, your sins are forgiven. And some of the scribes said to themselves, this fellow blasphemes. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Why are you thinking evil in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, then he said to the paralytic, get up, pick up your bed and go home. And the paralytic got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were awestruck and glorified God, who had given such authority to men. So far, the Holy Gospel. Please join me as we confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, printed atop page 12 of the forepart of our hymn book. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and stood upon the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the forgiveness of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of body, and the life of Christ. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with our sermon, hymn 213, Hail the Day That Sees Him Rise, and before the sermon we sing stanzas 1 to 3. Who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, and love be multiplied unto you. We hear a portion of the Old Testament lesson from Genesis, the first book of Moses, which was read earlier. Then Jacob awoke from his dream and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And Jacob was afraid and said, how awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So far the text, let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our salvation. Amen. You know, scientists use the Hubble Space Telescope to peer to the very edges of the universe. And in addition to trying to unlock the secrets of the universe, they're also looking for solar systems such as ours, where the sun and planets rotating around the sun, and think of the possibility that on some of these planets there might be life. On Earth, there are radio telescopes that try to pick up the radio signals from the stars and perhaps even come across radio signals of a civilization on another planet.
To date, basically, the results have been negligible. In the unscientific realm, there are people who search the skies for UFOs. There are people who believe that ancient civilizations on Earth weren't the creation of our forebears, but rather were the creation of aliens from outer space. There are some who believe, then, that Jacob's dream was a close encounter of the fourth kind, an encounter with aliens. As a matter of fact, there are TV shows and science fiction that dwell on this theme. Excuse me here for a minute. There. Both science fiction and science speak to man's longing to somehow feel that we are not alone in the cosmos. But you know, the scriptures and our text in particular for today show that we are not alone in the cosmos. There's a spiritual dimension which we can't see, and in this dimension, God lives in light inaccessible. But God has not stayed in that dimension of inaccessible light, but he has broken through that dimension to reach out to us. Our text tells of God coming to Jacob, and he comes with promise and assurance, and Jacob names the place where he had slept Bethel, that is, the house of God. This dream speaks about a ladder between earth and heaven, a connection between the two. While Jacob's event was a one-time event, there is another connection between earth and heaven that will last forever. And this other connection is none other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has come to us with promise and assurance and gives us the blessing of an eternal home. And this brings me to my sermon theme for today, our eternal Bethel. And I'll develop this in three parts. First, a dream with promise and assurance. Secondly, Jesus, our ladder to heaven. And thirdly, our eternal Bethel. Jacob left the house of his father Isaac in Beersheba. But when Jacob left, it wasn't voluntary. He was a twin, and because he had taken the blessing that should have gone to his older brother Esau, Esau was angry and wanted to kill Jacob. And so Jacob's mother basically had Jacob gather up his things and head out of town. Isaac had told Jacob to go to Haran, the area in which, or Padan Haran, the area in which Haran was located. That would be a journey of close to 500 miles, all by foot. Abraham's relatives lived in Haran, and there Jacob was to get a wife from his uncle Laban. Jacob was to stay there until Esau's anger had cooled. Today we might say that Jacob was a fugitive, a refugee fleeing from a bad situation. He had to leave his father's house and go on a journey that would take days and days, if not months. After several days, he came to a certain place and gathered some stones to make a shelter for himself because night was coming. He took one stone for a headrest and fell asleep. It was then that God came to him in a marvelous dream. There was a ladder or a stairway reaching from earth to heaven, and angels were traveling up and down this ladder. By the way, and the word only appears once in the Old Testament and can mean either a ladder or a stairway, six of one, half dozen of another, I guess. Jacob was dumbfounded when he not only saw the angels going up and down the ladder, but also, at the top of the ladder was the Lord himself, who had created the universe and had given the promise of a coming Messiah to Abram, to Isaac, Jacob's grandfather and father. The angels who were going up and down this ladder were there to do God's will. The ladder represented uninterrupted communication between earth and heaven, and the angels were there to mediate the needs of God's children. For example, in Psalm 103, we see David speaking about the angels. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, which is another word for angels, you who serve him, doing his will. After his temptation in the wilderness, for example, angels came to minister to Jesus. And of the angels, Jesus said of God's little children, that their angels in heaven continually behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. Now God renewed that promise to Jacob. He told Jacob that he would give the land first promised to Abram and then to Isaac. He told Jacob that he would bless his seed so that they would be as numerous as the dust of the earth. And he told Jacob that he would be with him to keep him or protect him, and that after Jacob had gone to Padan Haran, he would bring Jacob back to this land. When Jacob awoke, he was just overwhelmed. He had camped in the wilderness outside of a city. There was nothing particularly special about where he had camped, nor was there anything special about the stone which he had gathered for a headrest. But in the middle of his journey, far from his father's home, and yet far from the destination to where he was going to go, God had assured Jacob that God was with Jacob. Jacob took the stones which he had gathered and made an altar to God. He poured a bit of oil on the stones and named the place Bethel, or House of God, because God had appeared to him there. Now Jacob was a sinner, but he had repented of his sin and stood in need of divine grace. He stood in need of promise and assurance. He was deeply grieved over having left his father's house, and needless to say, was apprehensive about the future. God came to Jacob with promise and assurance. He had come near Jacob with that promise and assurance, and that promise and assurance point forward 1,700 years into the future toward an even greater promise and assurance to the coming of the Savior, Jesus. For Jesus is our ladder to heaven. At the very beginning of John's Gospel, we see Jesus speaking with his disciples, and he was gathering them. To one of those disciples, Nathanael, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens opened and the angels of God descending and ascending upon the Son of Man." Now, as any good Jew, Nathanael would have realized what Jesus was speaking about. He was referring to the Son of Man who was spoken of by the prophet Daniel. In another night vision, the prophet Daniel saw the Son of Man coming before the Ancient of Days to receive from him dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will never be destroyed. And Jesus says that Daniel is speaking of him, the Messiah, the Son of Man, who in Jesus has come. The kingdom of grace and promise and forgiveness shall last forever and ever, and even the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Secondly, the Lord had promised Jacob that his seed would be blessed and become numerous. He used the singular word for seed and not seeds. And as a matter of fact, in Paul's letter to the Galatians, Paul commented on this promise, first made to Abram, and then repeated and renewed to both Isaac and Jacob. Paul writes, "Now the promises were spoken to Abram and his seed." He does not say seeds as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is, Christ. God's Old Testament promises always point to Jesus. Thirdly, Jesus is saying that he is the ladder, or he is the bridge between earth and heaven. Although at the time Nathanael could not have known it, Jesus will have established this bridge by having lived a sinless life and dying a death he did not deserve. On the cross, Jesus established that bridge between earth and heaven, taking upon himself the sins of the world. And his death paid the price for sin and gave the world a word of reconciliation by which men and God are now at peace in him. in Jesus' death. The wall of sin, which would have otherwise separated God from his creation, was torn down, just as at the moment of Jesus' death, the veil in the temple between the sanctuary and the Holy of Holies was rent asunder. In Jesus' resurrection, we see proof that Jesus' sacrifice for sin for us was acceptable to God the Father. And now Jesus is the only bridge between earth and heaven. This bridge passes over the chasm which would have separated us from God, the chasm of sin, the chasm of death, the chasm of the devil. And Jesus is the one and only mediator between man and God, between each one of us and God. In Jesus, God renews his promise and assurance given to Jacob so many, many years ago, and Jesus gives us the promise of his presence. As he said to his disciples before he ascended into heaven, with words that still hold true for us, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus' promise is to be with believers forever. And Jesus gives us a promise of his protection. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall be able to snatch them out of my hand. Jesus promises that in the face of our old enemies, sin, death, and the devil, we and all believers shall have eternal life, shall never perish, and have the complete assurance that so long as we follow the voice of the Good Shepherd, we are always held in the protection and comfort of his hands. But in all this, Jesus promises that he has given to us the promise of an eternal dwelling place. For in Jesus we have our eternal Bethel. As opposed to Jacob's stone memorial, which celebrated God's coming to him, and which Jacob had called God's house, Jesus has built for us a house which spans all time and all places. Now, Jacob's stone was established at a certain place, and that place would henceforth be known as Bethel. But in later years, rather than being God's house, the unbelieving Israelites made it into a shrine to Baal. God later forbid the Israelites to make such a stone memorial as Jacob had made because the Israelites were erecting to Baal and other dead idols instead of the living God. God showed himself to Jacob as a God who could be with Jacob wherever he went, in Beersheba, in Haran, or any place in between. Later, the Israelites thought that Bethel was a place of magic where they could capture God and like an idol. Bethel had belonged to the northern kingdom of Israel, and under King Jeroboam had made a golden calf to be worshipped there. Under the reign of King Josiah, the sanctuary to the idols at Bethel was destroyed, probably about 608 B.C., about a year before Josiah himself died. Needless to say, unbelieving Israel did not honor what Bethel had stood for, that is, God's house. Needless to say, not only was Bethel not eternal, but it was stained with the sin of unbelief and idolatry. But when we look to Jesus, we have a completely different picture. First, Jesus said to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would not have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will also come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus is promising that for each of us, for each and every believer, he is preparing an eternal, incorruptible Bethel for us in heaven. That is the heavenly Jerusalem, to which we as pilgrims go through this world and continually go forward, always following the voice of the Good Shepherd to that place where he will lead us in still waters and restore our souls. Secondly, while God gave a promise of a specific piece of real estate in the Middle East for Jacob and his descendants to dwell, in Christ, God's promise of land does not find fulfillment in a specific piece of real estate on earth, but rather in the heavenly Jerusalem. As the writer to the Hebrews tells us, by faith, Abraham lived in an alien land, as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for a city whose foundations and whose architect and builder is God. They desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. The Old Testament promise of land finds its perfect fulfillment in Jesus. He has gone ahead to prepare an eternal heavenly city, a heavenly Bethel that is untouched by sin or sickness or death. And the end of our salvation is not to be found in any earthly city, be it Rome or Jerusalem or Constantinople or even Moscow, which called itself the Third Rome. Thirdly, Jesus gives us an earthly Bethel that isn't tied to any specific earthly location. That is, it's his body, the church. Here Jesus nourishes us through word and sacrament, and he calls us to a new life through holy baptism. He reminds us daily to come to him for the forgiveness of sins so that we might walk in the newness of life before him. He gathers us around his communion table. He comes to us as we read his word in our devotions at home and as we hear his word as we assemble together. Indeed, Jesus' promise is that where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. In his earthly Bethel, the church, we have a ladder that goes from where we are and stretches into heaven. Jesus is the ladder. He is the one who has broken into our world to tell us that we aren't alone in the universe. He is the one who speaks words of promise and assurance to each and every one of us. He is the one who has given us an eternal Bethel, eternal in the heavens, in which and in his church, in which he calls us to daily repentance, in which he forgives our sins, so that we might always follow the voice of our good shepherd as we go forward to our eternal heavenly Bethel. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
We now continue with stanzas 4 to 6 of hymn 213, Hail the Day That Sees Him Rise. And at the conclusion, we return back to page 12 and then join our hearts and voices in singing the offertory. And at the conclusion of the offertory, we shall receive the offer. able, we rise and join our hearts in prayer. We give thee, Bethlehem, whatever the gift may be, all that we have is thine alone, a trust, O God, from thee. And who dost never leave or forsake us. We praise and glorify thee for the infinite mercy which thou didst manifest and the unsurpassed gift to us as sinners of thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who came to put away our sins by sacrificing himself upon the cross, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank thee, O Father, for this commending thy love to us, delivering us from power of sin and death, and opening to us the gate of heaven. We confess that we are most unworthy sinners, and that we have transgressed more than we can know of thy will and word. We repent of our evil, and pray that thou wilt give us such faith that we may trust utterly in the righteousness of Christ Jesus for our forgiveness. Pardon our iniquity, we beseech thee, and in him cast all our sins into the depths of the sea of oblivion. Grant that, by thy truth, our minds may be renewed in righteousness and true holiness, that our consciences may be stirred to discern and choose the good, and that every thought, word, and deed may be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Give us the will and power to walk in thy paths and live in harmony with thy word. Endow us with grace so that we may be transformed in character, constant in faith, patient in tribulation, and intent in prayer. Fill thy church with thy Spirit, that it may have a power, a knowledge, and a wisdom that are above all mere human ingenuity and intellect. Give it great moral conviction, a quickened conscience, and an unshakable sympathy with all that is pure, all that is holy, all that is true, all that is good. Give unto her ministers and teachers the fidelity, courage, and zeal of true prophets, that thy people may be built up in faith and works, rejoice in thy love, endure in patience in every trial, and finally enter thy kingdom by way of him who is the heavenly ladder, even Jesus Christ. Let the blessings of thy truth and love stream forth upon the nations, and let them receive all thy revelation and repentance and faith, so that they may be delivered from the barrenness of falsehood and the waste of godlessness, and go unto the house of God and worship and praise. We pray for our own beloved country. Give us citizens who perceive that the standard of all that is right is not personal advancement or private favor, not public opinion nor party platform, but thy holy will. Give us civil servants who are worthy of honor and leaders in business and labor, who are unselfish and far-sighted, and who are guided by the public good and respect for each man's God-given dignity. Lavish thy grace upon all families, that each home may, by the Christian love and character there lived, be for the children a foretaste of the joy and blessedness of their heavenly home. For all who are in any sickness, pain, anguish, or suffering, for all who are in any danger from within or without, we pray, teach them to turn unto thee and wait upon thee for thy mercy. Grant unto them hope and a joyous deliverance out of all their trials, and let them walk in thy light all their days. To this end, we especially pray in particular for Nancy, Roy, Gerald, Jean, Marlene, Don, Linda, Carla, Kurt, Lee, Rose, and her husband, our neighbor Sue, Carolyn's friend Sue, Don, Richard, Ruth, James, Chloe, and Dagny, Doug, Warren and Joy, and those whose names on our hearts, which we now lift up unto thee. We ask that thou wouldst be with those congregations who are calling within our synod, and those who have been called, give to all an extra measure of thy Holy Spirit, that those who have been called may see where their talents best lie in the furtherance of thy kingdom, and those who are calling may not lose heart in the midst of their vacancy. And we thank thee that thou hast moved Pastor Emanson to accept the call to be the resident CLC foreign missionary to India. We would ask that you would be with those in the Carolinas who are suffering on account of flooding, who have lost homes, who have lost loved ones, who are injured. We would ask that you would give them that comfort that they may find in the midst of earthly homes that are destroyed, an eternal and a heavenly Bethel that is secured by He who is our Savior and who is preparing a heavenly home for us, that is to say, Jesus Christ our Lord. Be with all those who are traveling to services this day, sent by holy angels over them, and grant them a safe journey. These things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our refuge and hope, who has also taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may ever embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever the one true God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Hymn 361, O Jesus, King Most Wonderful.